All right, welcome to this little exclusive segment with John Gustafero. Cheers, man. We actually asked a lot of our good questions on the main podcast, so make sure you've listened to that one first. But I do thankfully still have a couple of gems, hopefully. The first one is one thing we didn't really get into on the podcast is that in addition to the other stuff you do, you're also like a keynote speaker, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're performing, because it kind of is a performance, right? When you're up there and you're on stage,
yes.
Have you noticed that you use, do you kind of attack it as a different style of performing, or do the skills you develop performing magic, are they exactly the same ones that you're performing when you're doing keynotes? Or I guess the other way around, like, are there any skills you've picked up from doing keynotes that not many magicians that perform incorporate?
Well, they definitely feed off of each other. Speaking was something that just naturally evolved out of years in magic. And really, it was after I did a lecture tour across Europe for over three weeks, and I just realized how much I loved being in front of people. And even though they were magic lectures and not typical like keynote speeches, just seeing the eyes on people's faces of self-discovery and finding something new, I just loved that, right? And at the time, I had a kind of a side consulting business where I was doing all kinds of marketing and website design and things like that, which I could do. I liked those things, but I didn't necessarily love those things. And what I loved most was kind of the speaking and inspiring teams part of it. So I basically kind of rebranded my John G Consulting to be more focused on keynotes and corporate trainings and rebranded it. Actually, it's called One Degree Connect. It's all spelled out with words, One Degree Connect. And you'll see how the One Degree philosophy we talked about on the general podcast is now applied to how I approach speaking and training and things like that. So I've done everything from all day board retreats for companies to, you know, 30 minute keynotes. I often do infuse magic. So there is a correlation between, and right. I try to highlight these seemingly complex topics to utilizing magic to make concepts stick. But in general, the idea of, you know, being on stage, and this is true if you're a close-up magician or not, you know, you're on stage and people are looking to you to become inspired and entertained. And so that's all part of it. So, yeah, but the speaking emerged definitely from decades of magic and just realizing how much I loved inspiring people. So,
Well, thanks for that. Are there any tips you have on public speaking? So, I mean, maybe it's one of those where it's not really a case of there being techniques. It's just like you kind of have to get up and do it a bunch. But again, selfishly, we run this podcast and I'm always trying to look out for our audience. So any tip you can give me, and I'll pass on to Jacob on
I'd be happy to.
Would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm always learning, you know, and look, one thing, just because someone's an expert on a topic doesn't make them a good speaker. You know, there's that saying that, you know, knowledge is power. And I disagree with that, really. I think being able to share knowledge in a way that piques people's curiosity is the real power. You know, I've seen a lot of knowledgeable people up on stage and they just lose the audience because it's not just about reciting facts. It's about really presenting in a way that makes people have these aha moments. So I think that's really the secret of good speaking and even good performing, right? Also, down to really some practical tips, I've realized that, you know, each time I do speak or, you know, do a training or something, that I realize the same way I would do a magic performance, I'd say, okay, what could I have done better? What small thing could I do? And I realize, like most of us, when I have adrenaline going and I'm either performing or speaking, that I often speak faster than I want or realize that I'm doing. So I remind myself before I go on stage to speak slowly and to be like articulate, right? I also remind myself to smile because, and again, I don't have a smile on my face the whole time, but I think sometimes we're always thinking about what we're going to do next. What am I going to say next? What am I going to do next? What's the next slight, the next trick? And it's not very natural when you're thinking to smile through it. So that's kind of a little, in many ways, it's kind of misdirection too in magic, you know, when you're kind of smiling through or laughing with an audience member at the same time as you're thinking about a strategy, what you're going to do next. Right. So I remind myself before I go on stage to speak slowly, to smile, and also just to speak a little bit louder as well, like just to project. Sometimes we get in our thought and we think that, you know, we're almost kind of talking to ourselves sometime as we express a thought. We always want to be conscious of the people in the back, you know, in the back row. Again, this is applied to both magic and speaking. So anyway, those are a few tips. And I forgot the exact words of the mantra, but I think it's smart to, I have like a 6-word mantra, and it's something to the idea of speak slowly, big smile, and speak not loudly, but just articulately. So, so it might be smart for all of us to realize, okay, what are our weak points and what we're doing? Like what are these traps we often fall on, and how can we improve that? And those are mine. I realize that maybe for others, they might be a little bit different.
So I think there's an interesting thing about what you mentioned, and I hope you don't think I'm trying to shoehorn advertising too much. But you were talking about how as a speaker, it's important to not only appeal to the knowledge, and in advertising, one of the lessons you learn is that it's not really about the facts of the product. It's more about the emotion. You know, people buy for emotional reasons, and they use logic to justify the purchase. So obviously there has to be an element of knowledge and facts to kind of, so they can internally justify them making a decision, but that decision was fueled by the emotion. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see the overlap with speaking. Although, I guess the only difference would be, well, actually, yeah, what is the action that you're trying to motivate people to take if you're speaking? Because obviously in advertising, you want them to buy, but when you're speaking, what is like the desired action for the audience?
Yeah. I mean, you could explore like 1degreeconnect.com to see the focus. And typically the speaking is either kind of general keynotes to maybe inspiring a team or a collaboration or something. And in many ways I do the 1 degree, like there, wonder is 1 degree away, meaning that we don't always have to be magicians to create wonder in our daily lives. And there's small things we could do in our daily lives to, you know, to bring joy to others and things like that. So that's often the general talk, that they leave feeling that, wow, I can be, I can see more wonder in the world, and I can actually create it. And I kind of sometimes weave in things magicians do that we can do in our daily lives, like just by thinking like a magician, right? When I dig more into business, if I'm doing like a training, I have this, maybe it's going a little bit into business right now, but I look at success in business through a triple lens, right? I think there's three things that you need to be strong in for success to ensue. And that's your brand, your team, and your cause. So brand, team, cause. And sometimes, you know, I guess I have on my website, you can see what I mean by those terms, but I think we all kind of know in a way. But, you know, you can have a strong brand, and you could also have a strong cause if you have maybe a focus on social impact. But maybe, you know, maybe you're growing faster than you are to make sure your team is engaged in that. And there, in that regard, that you have a three-legged stool, but where one is shorter because you're not focused on that. Or maybe you have all these great, you know, energetic team stuff going on, but you're not focused as much on, you know, the latest, you know, ways to bring your brand to life and everything. So anyway, that's the way I look at it. So again, when I'm talking more for corporate trainings, I talk about team, brand, cause, and how 1 degree shifts in each of those areas can kind of create this synergistic, strong, triad. So
anyway, hope that's great. I'll have to re-listen to some of it. It's sometimes hard when you're the one doing the interview, because like you have to try and keep track of what's being said whilst also not getting too into what's being said, otherwise you forget you're meant to be an active participant. So yeah. I'm gonna save this and re-listen a few times. One final question, and then we'll close this up, just related to the public speaking angle that we're going on. I've heard it mentioned by people that one of the best ways to have that confidence while you're up there on stage is to first kind of not convince yourself as in like it's a lie, but just remind yourself that what you're sharing, I mean, first of all, if what you're sharing doesn't have value to them, then you should probably go reevaluate what you are sharing. But given that what you're sharing is going to have value to them, you almost have this moral obligation to do your absolute best to make sure they get the message. And so it suddenly flips the script in terms of, rather than feeling the inward pressure of like spotlight effect, it's more like, you know, you have this job to make sure that these people get the maximum value, because you know what you're sharing has a legitimate value. That's easy to see in a business sense, you know, because stuff you share might increase their bottom line and there's real tangible results. But how would you translate that into magic, where there's not quite so much of a tangible outcome?
Yeah, you know, I think there's I've made a few posts on social media about this, but there's two points that come to mind right now. Is that the more I perform, the more I realize how important the art of conversation is. And you got to remember, you're not just doing an act, you are interacting, right? And then also you have to read the room. And I see people doing this well and some people not doing it well. You have to be able to be on your feet and in real time and knowing, okay, well, man, this didn't land as it typically does. And why is that? And you have to be able to kind of veer off script a little bit, or maybe raise the energy level a little bit, or, you know, it depends on what the actual situation is. But I think just the idea of reading the room and being open to make, you know, shifts in real time is a big part of that. I'm always aware of that when I'm either speaking or performing, and, you know, if I feel like I'm losing the room, or maybe there's a lot of great energy and I want to keep that momentum going. Right. And I think that's the part you don't really read a lot in books or in the structure or the method or even the standard performance or script. Right. And I think that's a whole, and really that comes back then to, if you're going to be spending some time on focusing on reading the room in real time, that means that's why practice is so important, because you don't want to be focusing on like, how do I do this move again? Yeah. Like, you have to do it. I mean, it's what we call like a level of mastery, right? Mm-hmm. You're doing these tricks just in the same way that you drive or you type, mm-hmm. you're almost doing it subconsciously. So that's mm-hmm. why it's important to have a level of mastery with your slides, so you could focus on your audience.
That's perfect. I guess thanks, John. Once again, like Jacob said, it's a pleasure to talk. We initially reached out because we were interested to talk to you about magic, but the more I dug into it in preparation, I was like, I just can't wait to talk to this guy flat out. So thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, let me close this one thing. I found that little mantra that I often say before I step into the close-up room or a gig or a talk. It's actually four short sentences. Mm-hmm. It's stand tall, smile wide, speak slowly, and spark wonder. So that's my mantra, and that's kind of reminds me to stand tall with confidence, put my shoulders back, and kind of, you know, own the room any way I can. Smile wide, speak slowly, and spark wonder, because again, that's really what it's all about at the end.
Well, thanks, man. That's a perfect way to end this. People are going to get a ton of value from that. So thanks.
Cool. And, I inspire everybody listening to maybe come up with their own. They could steal a few of those words, or maybe they want to come up with a few of their own. And if they do, I'd love to hear what they are.
Change one word and you never know what might.
There you go. Yeah, 1 degree.
All right, man. Thanks.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. And thanks all your listeners for being part of this.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.